flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Honestly, this guy is all over the map. Dan Orlovsky.
You got to pick a lane.
Couldn't pay you enough to draft him. You'd sit him for 2 years.
No, couldn't. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't play him. You wouldn't play him.
Thank you.
That's what it was. You couldn't pay me enough to play him.
That's what
it
was.
That was in like week one or two when we were watching this offense. We're saying.
And before he was drafted, it was sit for 2 years.
Sit him for 2 years. Not ready.
Now he's the guy people are shoving each other out of the way of to take the job.
It's like, the best job out there because of him.
Figure it out.
I don't know.
Orlovsky.
Having a hard time with it.
I don't necessarily think he's wrong. What's the better job? You're Ben Johnson. Would you rather take Chicago or New England?
Chicago.
Me too.
I feel like Chicago's done a better job.
It's not because of the quarterback.
No. It feels like they have a little bit more outside of the quarterback. Even if you like Drake May more. You know, I still think Caleb Williams can be good. I know there's plenty of red flags and issues with Caleb Williams. I think the talent is there. They've been more aggressive, it feels like, whether it be in free agency or trades over the last few years, that I think that's a better spot. Because the other thing when you get in here to New England is, all right, you have Drake May, that's great. You have nothing else around you. How confident are you in the guy picking the players? And then also, how confident are you in the ownership spending a lot of money? So that's why I would think Chicago is a better job.
If they hired me, I'm Ben Johnson, they hired me, I'd feel a lot better about their chances of spending money. And maybe Ben Johnson can bring in a personnel guy with him so the Elliott Wolf thing scares him less. I would still take Chicago. And I preferred Drake May before the draft over Caleb Williams. I still prefer Drake May to Caleb Williams. But Chicago has other pieces on the roster I want to work with. The Patriots have nothing. Now, you could view that as a plus. You could say it's a completely clean slate. I only have Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, but I can bring in everything. And if you really want to... go through with that undertaking, then more power to you. This is a better gig. And I would say Patriots ownership is better than the McCaskies. There's that too. But I do think the Bears have a little more in place, even just with Roma Dunze to work with. Caleb Williams scares me. He's always scared me, but he's talented. I would take the Bears gig. But that's me. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937.
I do think the Patriots are the second best job. As of today, as of this moment, there are only 5 openings.
Yep.
And you have the New York Jets. We just talked about how they're interviewing every
everyone.
Single guy they
yeah.
could possibly. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, which might be appealing to some coaches, but they're keeping their GM, which seems like a mistake.
Yeah, Trent Baalke's going to be on his fifth coaching hire overall. He hired Jim Tomsula.
Wow.
With the Niners.
That's wild.
He also hired Harbaugh, to his credit.
Yeah.
And then the two hires in Jacksonville have been Urban Meyer and Doug Peterson. And he somehow is keeping his job.
So, and like, but like Trevor Lawrence.
That must be Elliott Wolf's hero. Elliott Wolf's like, Trent Dunn.
Yeah, that guy.
This guy's got it all.
But I would say, you have Trevor Lawrence, and I'm sure somebody like Ben Johnson probably thinks they can get something out of him, but I'd much rather work with Drake May or Caleb Williams than Trevor Lawrence at this point. And then you also have the New Orleans Saints, which are probably either fourth or fifth, you know, between them and the Jets.
I think, yeah.
It's pretty clear-cut top
two. What's a worse job, New Orleans or the Jets right now?
I think the Jets might be worse because I think...
You got to go in and trade Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, you got to figure that out.
I think New Orleans is worse.
Is worse?
They're both bad.
I just wonder if, like, are you that far off from competing in the division? Like,
oh, because it's a bad division?
Yeah, I look at that a little bit, too.
Maybe.
Like, could you be a player in there? And maybe that's sort of the upshot on Jacksonville, too. It's like, yeah, maybe you go in there. Like, you're not going up against Buffalo or Detroit, which is what you would be in New England and Chicago.
True. By the way, Ben Johnson, it's come out, I think this was also from Burt Breer, that he needs alignment with ownership and the front office. He needs to be on the same page with the front office. If the alignment isn't there, he won't be interested.
All right.
So do you buy into whatever vision the Crafts have here? And are you comfortable with Robert and Jonathan? And then what's Elliott Wolf's role? That's going to be real important. And maybe Ben Johnson looks at it and goes, I like Drake May, but I'm not working with Elliott Wolf.
Yep.
And so are the Patriots married to Elliott Wolf? Are they just keeping him in the interim? Would they blow him out to hire Ben Johnson? They should, but that sounds like a huge element with Ben Johnson, and I wouldn't blame him for that. I wouldn't blame any coach coming in saying, I'm not going to have a shotgun marriage with some front office person that I don't agree with, align with, or even know.
This is also why last year, and I know you got to move on, but not having an actual head coach search last year,
awful,
is such a mistake, because you could have gone back and think of let's say they interviewed 10 candidates last year, and even if they still settle on Mayo, they probably go in remembering, all right, what certain candidates sort of shined, what didn't, but not only the individual person, but like what about them? Like, what did you like about that? So then now you have a lot to compare to with Ben Johnson, because you didn't hire, you'd go 20 years without having to look for a head coach. So you're so far out of the game.
It's crazy.
When it comes to bringing in somebody, they come in there, I don't know how it works. You have like a PowerPoint presentation or whatever you do, and you're like, this is what I would do to fix your team. Maybe they do it in 60 seconds like we did that one time.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
They're like, hey, Ben Johnson, we got to run to lunch here. You have 60 seconds. What would you do to fix
Sell
the
us on a. He's like, ah.
Fire Elliott Wolf. I draft this guy. Like, okay, wow. Like, what if he just did that and blows your hair back?
He said, burn down the lighthouse. He's out.
You're done.
Yeah.
But that, like, you don't have anything to compare to anymore, which is just really a shame.
Phil Perry, one more note here. Yep. We'll get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. By the way, Robert Kraft speaks live from Gillette Stadium less than a half hour from now. You'll hear it here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. Phil Perry says on the front office side, the process could be hazy. He detailed that Van Pelt and Covington haven't been fired yet. They probably will be. He says the Patriots, I hate this so much. The Patriots brought in a new system last January with Elliott Wolf and the entire Wolfpack.
Yeah, they're all here.
Yep. Taking on the lead role after serving as director of scouting under Bill Belichick. That system was obviously heavily influenced by Wolf's time in Green Bay and later in the Packers-inspired front office in Cleveland, and it featured a different way of grading players than the way in which Bill Belichick operated for two decades as New England's football boss.
Have systems in place, and we will have systems in place.
It sounds to me, Keith, like how whatever the grading system was in the language,
yeah,
the result was very similar when it comes to wide receivers specifically.
Spider-Man meme, pointing at each other, wide receivers.
It's a different system. Yeah. It's not N'Keal Harry. It's Jalen Polk.
How about all the graphic?
It's a different system.
All the national guys getting on that too, like the TV and on Twitter, just the receivers drafted by the Patriots. Ugh. Like everybody's been all over that. And then
it's
Polk
so
and
bad.
Baker just like add him to the list.
He says if there's a reluctance from Robert Kraft to part with Wolf's system, he may encourage the next head coach to work with Wolf, which could be a non-starter for Ben Johnson. Kraft would also have to understand how arranged marriages between coaches, front office heads usually work or don't in the NFL, as we were just talking about. That may leave open the possibility of a significant change on the personnel side of things. He goes on to suggest that Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi, local guy if you haven't.
Sure, heard that.
Everett, I think.
Yep.
Who overlap with Vrabel in Kansas City, might fit that bill as he previously worked under Chiefs GM and longtime Packers exec John Dorsey. So Wolf and Dorsey may see things similarly, may have similar grading systems. Borgonzi worked under Dorsey. Maybe there's more of a marriage there than you would think.
It's going to be tough to thread the needle. If you keep Elliott Wolf, is he 100% on board with the head coach hire? Is the head coach 100% on board with Elliott Wolf? Or then you have Kraft being like, well, you guys should work together. It's like, well, we don't really want to work together.
Right.
So, and like, or do you lose out on a candidate because you're keeping him? Like, that's, again, what some of the talk in Jacksonville, not that we care about them, but while they're keeping Trent Baalke, so some candidates might be like, no, I'm good. Because not that they want to be full Bill Belichick and have all say, but they want to have more say.
I think this is the exact thing we're talking about with Ben Johnson. Exactly. Yeah. Ben Johnson, I think, had some interest in the Jaguars' job. They keep Trent Baalke. It's a non-starter.
So
you're right there in the same spot. Colin's in the car. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, guys. Rich, you're the man, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm super surprised Daboll still has a job this morning. That's besides the point. After watching this season, I just feel like, personally, I kind of miss the Belichickian ways. That's why I wouldn't mind seeing Vrabel in here over Ben Johnson. I just feel like there's not – Ben Johnson's just got too much potential. I feel like the Crafts aren't going to spend. It's like kind of like, what's the point of even taking the job?
Well, this would be my fear if they brought in somebody like Vrabel. Are you really going – we know Ben Johnson's going to cost $15, $20 million a year. He turned down jobs last year.
Yeah.
So are you really spending? Is it really different? Or are you just kind of bringing in another guy you knew – a la Gerard Mayo. Is there any chance, Keith, just because he mentioned Bill, is there any chance given his buyout? I mean, you could bring Bill back.
A lot of people were talking about that on Twitter. They want to go back to Chapel Hill on your hands and knees begging.
I don't want him back. You could go back and beg for Bill to come back. You could do that.
You could.
I wouldn't want that.
I don't think he would do it either. You think he would?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To come back to the NFL? Get the wins record?
I know, but and for like Robert really to help
get,
the Patriots
really
out,
get Kraft to bend over and smooch his shoes?
Well,
yes.
Get like $30 million or whatever. Yes. Yeah, I guess he would. I do not think that's happening.
I don't even
think it's going to be Mike Vrabel.
I wouldn't want it to happen,
yeah.
But that would be entertaining if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's go to Patrick, who's in Lynn. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
Quick question for you. So even today, I'm hearing all the New England Patriot players saying they were so happy to win yesterday. Now, it's just, I could be wrong, but I think the number one pick holds a little bit significance to it. And I think you have more room to play with. And I'm pretty sure, don't these teams have a team meeting, like, during the week of the game to say, hey, this is our goal?
Yeah.
And
so, Patrick, I don't mind the players saying they were happy they won.
The players, most of them won't even be here. And so, like, they can't just lay down and, you know, quit.
Does not getting the number one pick hurt you with Ben Johnson at all?
No, I think the main reason to go would be Drake May,
but
regardless.
Drake May and the number one pick helps. And a bunch of cash to spend
helps.
So it hurts you in that regard, too. 617-779-7937. Robert Kraft scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock live from Gillette Stadium. You're going to hear that here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get more into Elliott Wolf, not just supposedly keeping his job, but throwing Gerard Mayo under the bus. We'll get to these comments next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
How'd that meeting go for Gerard Mayo?
It was quick. I would imagine it was pretty quick.
Oh, that's right.
He knew.
Was not retained. I also think he knew.
He already knew. You could tell.
I mean, I think
like,
the
we'll
whole,
see how it goes and all this other stuff.
The second Schefter said before the game, he was doing the whole in or out. I don't know if you saw this live, Keith.
I saw it on Twitter,
Was this. Okay, but you saw like the whole preamble?
Yeah.
Mort hated doing this segment. Things can change. It's all fluid. But I'm leaning Gerard Mayo out.
Leaning out. And there's like, a big graphic. He's standing next to this thing. He's like taller than him. It's
Mayo,
like, out.
Out.
Yeah.
So,
and he didn't do that for a lot of guys, right? Wasn't it him and Doug Peterson?
I believe the only two. He said Daboll was probably safe. He was right.
Yeah.
He said Antonio Pierce is probably safe. Blows my mind.
It's weird.
He's like, Peterson's definitely a goner. Right. I'm leaning out on Mayo. Correct. So
only five openings. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said 10.
I think you said on Friday.
Yeah.
I think you said 9.
Nine.
Like, I would have assumed the same thing. Five. Eight, nine, something
sitting
like that.
On five. I mean, there could be one that trickles out. There's always an off chance a playoff team gets frustrated with an early exit and makes a move. But as of right now, just five openings.
Okay. So that's Gerard Mayo yesterday. He was thrown right under the bus by Elliot Wolf, who it sounds like is going to be here.
Yeah.
I read you these comments earlier today. I think they're worth reading again. Because Elliot, it sounds like the two were trying to stab each other in the back to ownership. It sounds like Mayo would run upstairs to Thundercat, and he would say, oh, I don't have any players. What am I supposed to do? I knew it was going to be a long rebuild, and there's no players here. Did I mention there's no players? So I deserve year two, and then we'll get it all fixed.
We've all been dealt the hand we've been dealt, or whatever is what
he
said.
Yeah, the players are the players. Yeah. We've all been dealt a certain hand. Yeah. So he's trying to stab Elliot Wolf in the back to Thundercat. Then Elliot Wolf, after that meeting, runs over to Robert Kraft, and he says the following. After acknowledging that they are looking to improve the O-line, so he is finally acknowledging that.
What a relief.
Because last year you told us you had all the guys on the offensive line.
Yeah, we're good. We can protect the quarterback.
Now you are acknowledging you're going to improve.
Yeah, no.
He says, we're 3-13, so not good enough. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Good comment. Fair enough. That was before they won on Sunday. And this is to Henry McKenna, Fox Sports. He says, we have a lot of needs.
I would say, first of all, you're kind of just burying everybody that was here before you, although you were one of those guys. You were on the staff.
In the front. It's a weird, it's a neat trick to pull.
Like, we have a ton of holes to fill. It's like, well, you didn't just get here. You've been here a minute. You could have helped prevent that.
You've been here for years. You could have not picked Chuks Okorafor. You could have not picked KJ Osborne. He's got to walk a fine line because he knows Robert Kraft doesn't want to spend.
This is pretty amazing. There's only a handful of people that Elliot Wolf could really blame. And so he starts out by blaming the Bill Belichick and the previous regime.
Which plays with Robert. That does play with Robert.
Yes.
Bill screwed up.
Good point.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I fired Bill. Bill did screw up. We had a lot of needs. I would say that I guess personally, what I was expecting, maybe a little bit more internal development. And it's a good lesson, certainly, heading into next year, and that you can't always rely on that.
So that's all the coaches.
That's a direct shot at all the coaches.
Every
but
one of them. Mayo.
Mainly
Mayo. Well, Mayo for sure, but I think it goes even beyond that. Like, I thought we'd get some internal development. That could go down to each an individual position coach, coordinator, head coach. He's looking at it across the board. He thought the roster was good enough. He did. Maybe not like Super Bowl team, but he looked at the roster and was like, we're going to be good. If we take these guys here and if they get coached up a little bit, we're going to be okay. And he's telling you that they didn't get coached up. So he's blaming all the coaches, the previous regime.
Look, I don't think a lot of players got better here, but I would absolve Alex Van Pelt from that because May might just be really good, but May, I think, improved. I mean, I know he made these comments before we saw Joe Milton on Sunday, but Joe Milton definitely looks like an improved player from the preseason. So don't tell me no one improved.
I think another way of looking at it is across the board, how many of their guys do you think wildly underachieved? So knowing what they are, like, I'm not going to say, oh, Vidarian Law was bad.
No, right.
Because he is bad.
Like, maybe Ramondre?
Maybe. Maybe Ramondre. I think.
Yeah, everybody else just sucks.
Like, Christian Gonzalez had a really good
really
year.
Really good year.
Drake May showed improvement, was good. I thought both tight ends were better than I expected
Henry
them to
had
be.
A good year, yep.
Antonio Gibson was better than I expected to be. The receivers, I had such a low bar for that they probably, with the exception of a guy he's about to get to.
In
his quote, but like,
did Keon White regress?
So he started hot and then maybe went down a little bit. So that's okay. You can add that. You can add that one, I guess.
Speaking of the receivers.
Yeah, this is good.
The rookie receivers didn't have it really that much for us. And, you know, Jalen Polk was sort of, in our estimation, a plug and play.
So you and I think view this differently. I think that's a direct shot at Polk.
I think that's a shot at Mayo, but it's certainly not. It's a shot at Polk as well.
Because
I just
think
he's talking about the coaching staff.
No, there. He is, but they gave Polk an opportunity. And he's the early second round. He should be a plug and play. Ladd McConkey, top 10 in the NFL in receiving yards this year, was the 34th pick in the draft, which you traded out from. He doesn't mention that. He just says Polk was plug and play. Not that you traded out from a guy who might be all pro.
Unlike Ladd McConkey, definitely not plug and play.
I mean, he was not a plug and play. But you can slice that one up either way. Either he's blaming the player directly, and or the coaching staff for not being able to use him the right way. Pretty amazing, though. Like, he torches everybody involved except for him.
So, weasel move. I'm sure he's been doing the same thing.
Robert
Kraft.
We need to do better. It's like, you just buried everybody else.
Yeah.
What are you going to do better?
I'm sure that's the exact same thing he's been telling Robert Kraft to save his job. I'm reading more news here. Do you care at all that Drake May was not at the podium or his locker speaking today or yesterday. Does that bother you at all that Drake May doesn't speak at the end of the year?
I thought he would maybe speak today.
Me too.
Yesterday, he kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it's Milton's day. You don't want to upstage
it. Milton talk.
He should have talked today. That's odd.
I agree.
Might not mean anything. No. Maybe it speaks volumes that he's not. He wants to keep his mouth shut on Rob Mayo and everything that's going on here.
Maybe at the trots. And he's like, I can't be out here for this.
I hadn't fully thought that through. Perhaps
I can't be out here for very long.
Perhaps he had the trots. Breaking news.
I don't know. Yeah, you would think because next year he's going to be a team captain. You would assume, and you would think that he'd be one of the guys talking. If there are guys who were hurt and didn't play, like Christian Gonzalez and David Andrews, spoke today.
Let me just say this: if that was Caleb Williams, I'd be like, bad leader. And I kind of would think that about Caleb Williams. I don't want to let Dre Bay off the hook for this. He should have talked today.
Yeah, that's
a weird.
That's strange.
That's a weird leadership move. And that sounds like a Caleb Williams type of
that
move.
That does.
617-779-7937. Sounds like Elliot Wolf is safe for now. Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, both safe. Jerod Mayo, out. Who could be replacing him? What's the big picture plan for the organization? You'll hear from the owner, Robert Kraft, explaining all of this live from Gillette Stadium next on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.